from WILL's Illinois Newsroom, this is 217 Today. I'm Brian Moline. It's Thursday, November 10th. Coming up, Tuesday's election was a good one for Democrats in the state of Illinois. We'll break down the results with State House reporter Alex Degman. His conversation with Tim Shelley is coming up in just a few minutes. But first, these headlines. Fresh off his re-election win, Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker is still facing multiple questions about whether he'll run for president. Alex Degman reports.
Despite meetings with top Democrats in other states and fiery speeches espousing Democratic values, Pritzker has downplayed his growing national profile for months. That practice is continuing. Pritzker told reporters he's, quote, not focused on running for president. He was asked if he would run in 2024 if President Biden doesn't. But again, Pritzker would not directly answer.
He has said that he intends to run, and so I look forward to supporting him. I look forward, hopefully, to getting the convention here in Chicago so that we can renominate him and reelect him.
During his news conference, Pritzker repeatedly branded the Republican Party as the party of Donald Trump and said his opponent was a, quote, Trump disciple. I'm Alex Degman.
With the election cycle drawing to a close, the Illinois General Assembly soon will consider more revisions to the state's criminal justice reform law during the fall veto session. Democratic State Representative Jahan Gordon Booth of Peoria says some negotiation on possible changes to the Safety Act have already taken place.
As we continue down this path, I will tell you this. I'm very confident that next month when we go into veto session, we're going to have a body of work and a work product that is going to be a good work product.
The no-cash bail provision of the law that's set to go into effect January 1st came under fire from Safety Act opponents during the campaign season. Dozens of county-level lawsuits challenging the law filed against the state are now consolidated into a single case. Champaign-Urbana transit officials are making a plan to spend nearly $4 million in federal funding for electric buses announced recently by Senator Dick Durbin. Managing Director of the Mass Transit District, Carl Gannat, says MTD will put the money toward buying 10 new hydrogen fuel cell electric vehicles. He says the bus's electric motors will be powered by hydrogen that's produced using solar energy, so the entire process is zero emission. Gannat says the electric buses will be a game changer.
Because now you've got 40 people not using their fossil fuel powered cars, and they're all on a non-fossil fueled vehicle together. And that has a dramatic compounding positive impact on carbon footprint.
MTD has two electric buses now. Gannat says the agency's goal is for the fleet to be 60% electric by 2040. Researchers at the University of Illinois say they've developed a new test that can check for the presence of three viruses causing concern this year: COVID-19, respiratory syncytial virus, and the flu. Medical professionals say they're preparing for the possibility of a triple-demic. But David Clark, CEO of the University of Illinois' COVID-19 testing program, SHIELD, says the U of I's new test offers a simple way to check for all three viruses at once.
It tests that same single saliva-based sample for three conditions. And so we run the test once to see if that sample has exposure to COVID, and then we run it again to see if there's exposure to RSV or the flu.
Clark says his team has not yet determined how the tests will be distributed to the public. Still to come, we'll take a closer look at Tuesday's election results in Illinois with State House reporter Alex Degman. His conversation with Tim Shelley is coming up next on 217 Today.
In the second season of Masterpiece's Miss Scarlet and the Duke, Eliza Scarlet is back, walking circles around the male-dominated detective scene of Victorian London. The tension flares between Eliza and the gruff inspector William the Duke Wellington as they take on intriguing new cases. You can watch both seasons now as a friend of WILL. Learn more at will.illinois.edu/passport.
This is 217 Today. I'm Brian Moline. Democrats easily swept statewide races in Illinois Tuesday, with voters sending J.B. Pritzker back to the governor's mansion for another 4 years. Tim Shelley breaks down Tuesday's results with Illinois Public Radio Statehouse reporter Alex Degman.
It was Democrats pretty much all across the board: treasurer, comptroller, secretary of state, attorney general. It's Michael Frerich, Susana Mendoza, Alexi Janulius, and Kwame Raoul, respectively. And it wasn't really unexpected, but there were some pretty good campaigns put up.
And in terms of the advertising, there was a lot of money poured into these races, particularly the governor's race.
Yeah, that's true. And of course, most of that was spent by Democrat J.B. Pritzker, the incumbent billionaire, who gave his own campaign more than $100 million throughout the course of the race. Now, that's not to say that the other side didn't also spend some money. As you may recall, there was a particular GOP mega donor by the name of Richard Uihlein, who gave Darren Bailey a heck of a lot of money in the primary and did not give his campaign as much directly during the general election. But what he did do was give a lot of money to the People Who Play by the Rules PAC. And they didn't do a ton of advertising that was positive for Bailey. They did do some, but most of it was, especially the stuff that aired in the Chicago area, was aimed at degrading Pritzker and, by association, Chicago Mayor Lori Lightfoot.
But ultimately, it seems that advertising wasn't enough to move the needle too much. I know the Associated Press called the race for J.B. Pritzker moments after the polls closed.
Yeah, it just did not seem like there was much room for Bailey to make any inroads. Now, they did maintain that there could be something for several hours, because the race was called, I believe, basically right when polls closed at 7 o'clock, maybe 7:01. And it took people a while at Bailey headquarters in Springfield to realize that had even happened. It was a very subdued atmosphere for much of the night. But I think ultimately what it comes down to is just what people want to, like, it, ultimately in politics, it does come down to what people want. And while there were some ideas that Illinois was changing a little bit in how definitively Darren Bailey won the primary, it seemed like Illinois might have been changing its attitude and what kind of Republicans it wants to elect and what kind of Republicans it's going to put up in the general election. But as we saw, you know, J.B. Pritzker still won pretty decisively. He won by 12 points statewide. So you can have all the advertising you want, but at some point you have to understand that the electorate sometimes just doesn't respond to that.
And I know one other issue that you were watching pretty closely was Amendment 1, which was the so-called Workers' Rights Amendment. How did that do?
Well, it still remains to be seen. Right now, we've got about 90% of precincts reporting, and it's got more yeses than noes right now as we're recording this. It's got 58% yes and 41% no, but it's still too early to say. We've still got about 10% of precincts that still need to be reported, or 10% of the votes in that race that still need to be counted. And constitutional amendments need either 60% affirmation from people voting on that question, or affirmation and a yes from 50% of people voting in the election. And with that number of outstanding votes, it's too close. We'll just have to wait and see.
What would that amendment potentially do? That would be a big amendment for labor. I mean, not only in Illinois, but across the United States.
So basically what Amendment 1 would do would expand collective bargaining rights to people in the state that don't have them right now. So think your public employees, your agriculture workers, your gig workers. They're not protected by federal labor laws that state law currently mirrors. So what this would do would be expanding all of that to all of these people that don't currently have it. And then it would enshrine it in the state constitution so that, for example, lawmakers couldn't come in later and say, we don't want to do that. We're going to make Illinois a right to work state. Now, the amendment clearly says that legislatures can't come in and do anything to diminish the right to collectively bargain. And being a right to work state would diminish the power of unions.
And I know opponents had put out a lot of advertising about this amendment, saying that it would raise property taxes. It would ultimately be a burden on taxpayers. Is there substance to that? Should people think taxes might be tied to this in some way?
Theoretically, it's possible, but keep in mind that a property tax increase wasn't what this amendment was about. Property taxes really have nothing to do with that. And the reason that the opponents are saying that is because theoretically, if you give government workers, public sector workers, rather, these new collective bargaining rights, all of a sudden, they're going to have all this power and they're going to make all this money. And in order to pay for that, your property taxes are going to have to go up. I think they said an average of $2,100 a year or something like that. And in theory, I guess, but there's really that's a hypothetical. There's really nothing to suggest that that would happen if this goes into effect.
That was State House reporter Alex Degman speaking with Tim Shelley about Tuesday's Illinois election results. And finally, in your forecast, meteorologist Andrew Pritchard says it will be mostly sunny and breezy today with a high of 75 degrees. That's it for today. 217 Today is produced by Sydney Wood. Reporting today contributed by Alex Degman, Joe Deacon, Miranda Zanka, Emily Ritchie, and Tim Shelley. Music by the Kilbourne Alley Blues Band. Reginald Hartwick is our news director. I'm Brian Mulveen. 217 Today is a production of Illinois Public Media. We're taking a day off tomorrow, so thanks for listening, stay safe, and we'll talk to you again on Monday. Have a good weekend.